Cause the run on just got a little bumpier.
You cannot be serious!
I'm gonna see you every friggin' week.
There's gotta be an investigation to this.
This is the Triple M Rush Hour with MG.
Yes, and straight off the top, we have to broadcast the fact there is a severe thunderstorm warning. Heavy rainfall, large hailstones is for people in the Hunter Metropolitan and parts of mid-north coast, Illawarra, Central Tablelands. Basically, there's a thunderstorm that is likely to produce heavy rainfall that may lead to flash flooding and large hailstones in those warning areas over the next several hours. Parramatta might be affected, Gosford, Newcastle, Wollongong, basically Sydney.
Yeah, Castle Ray last night out my way was underwater. They got a month's worth of rain in one night. On the way in here today from Penrith, it was bucketing down. It took me 2 hours to get from Penrith to the city, and it's affecting all the East Coast because half of my family are on their way. Well, they've arrived in Coffs Harbour for the Oztag Championships, and tomorrow's been cancelled already.
Look, if you're indoors already, stay there. Stay away from the windows and keep your kids and your pets away from them as well. If you can, move your car under the cover. Last thing you want is that hailstone damage being done. If you are on the road, just slow down. Take it easy. Better be late than never. Keep clear of creeks, storm drains. Avoid driving through the puddles. Just, you know, put your sensible hat on, basically, because this thunderstorm warning is in effect. MG.
We've got a massive, massive show ahead.
Big, big show coming up tonight. Mark Bridge from the Western Sydney Wanderers is coming up at 6:30.
I love Bridgie.
Latrell Mitchell will be on the phone from Auckland ahead of the test match against Tonga on Saturday in about 10 minutes' time. And we've got another opportunity to join our Tough Mudder team coming up on tonight's show. But
The referees, mate.
Mr. Guy, put your boxing gloves on.
They're on.
Because the NRL referees want a pay rise.
Yeah, they deserve one.
You think they deserve one?
Yes, I do.
Which, for a man who spent 34 weeks on the sideline because of referees?
No, because of myself, my own stuff-ups.
All right, well, we are going to get stuck into this next. A debate is brewing. The Rush Hour with MG, Sydney's 104.9 Triple M. If you want to weigh in on this debate,
give them more.
Give us a call, 133353.
You're listening to the Triple M Rush Hour with MG, 6 to 7pm weekdays on 104.9 Triple M.
It's the Rush Hour with MG, Sydney's 104.9 Triple M. Just for another reminder that there is a severe thunderstorm warning for pretty much all areas of Sydney. If you're out on the roads, take it easy. If you're indoors, stay that way. And if you've got a chance to move your car undercover, do so now. MG, current score update, the cricket, the second test against Pakistan, Australia trailing by 322 runs. The Pakistanis are batting in their second innings. They are 4 for 185.
If you get a chance, check out one of the runouts from the Pakistani team. I tell you what, that's a bit sus.
It was.
They thought it was a four, didn't they? Oh, wow.
Poor Azhar Ali. Head to at Rush Hour Triple M on our socials. We put it up there. It is the most bizarre runout. Basically, long story short, he thought he'd hit a four. He hadn't. Mitchell Stark rifles it in from the boundary, and he's run out standing in the middle of the pitch having a chat. Anyway, let's do this.
Trending now.
The NRL referees are threatening strike action, MG. Andrew Webster wrote this morning in the Sydney Morning Herald that negotiations between the NRL and the referees union are struggling, and that some referees are considering striking in round one next season if their demands are not met. Their demands are for a 30% increase in their salaries over the next 4 years, which would see the top referee earning as much as $315,000 a year.
Yep.
Now, Mark Geyer, you seriously on the side of the referees in this argument?
I'm a referee sympathiser. They're such an easy target. Maybe because I spent the last weekend presenting awards to referees. Look, let me just rattle off a few points that I do know about referees. And my intel tells me it's closer to a $2,060K per year for the top in a four-year time span. So, you know, for the top six referees, I think $260K is probably the best type of money they could get. Look, it takes a long time to become a top ranked referee. Like players, some players play first grade at 18. Referees don't make the first grade until they're at least in their 30s. You know, so it's a 25-year build-up to get to the top of their tree. Mm. Who would want to be a referee, honestly, these days? Junior referees' participation is on the decline. We have young refs leaving the game in droves. No refs, no game. Simple as that. It's a lot easier to find a good player than it is good ref.
Yeah,
so pay them what they want, because and then they can. If you pay the referees what they want, then they're it's open slather. If you say, look, this is, you got what you wanted. Now we want to see you have a press conference after your game to tell us why you did that, and how about you don't use the bunker half as much if we give you more money.
Well, and there I've got some points I want to throw at you around this, MG, because look, the NRL is offering them a 24% increase in that time frame. The refs want 30. This whole idea, this threatening of strike action, is a little bit over the top for mine.
I agree. That's one thing I agree with. You never mention that word, strike, because you lose favour straight away. And I look, they're the most scrutinised officials in not just Aussie sport, but almost in world sport, our referees. Mm. Yeah, like, really.
We asked for your input, 133353. Jason in Rye, do you think the NRL refs deserve a pay rise?
I definitely do not think they deserve a pay rise. If anything, they should probably pay the NRL back some money.
Well, Jason, yeah, let me...
They are more incompetent than ever.
Oh, Jason, what about the idea that if they do get this pay rise, every time they use the bunker and don't make the decision themselves, that's a financial penalty. They cop a percentage whack.
What about they get a pay rise? Every time they don't go and go to the bunker, they get some money. Like, honestly, it's ridiculous.
Let's incentivise it, MG.
Well, but how are we going to get refs better? We need to make it a lucrative career option for a young ref to stay in the game. It's simple as that. If we want to... you know, pay peanuts, we get monkeys.
Yeah. Jared in Alford's Point, do you think the refs deserve a pay rise?
Oh, yeah, boys, I definitely think so. I think it's stupid not to give them a pay rise. I think the fact that they get scrutinised on a week-to-week basis is just unbelievable. And the fact that they have to deal with that pressure, not to mention if you don't have referees, you don't have a game, right? So, and especially as adding to MG's point, if you're a referee most of your life, you don't really get into first grade until you're in the early 30s. Mm. And up until that point, it's really just a part-time job. So you really want to make it a lucrative offer, and then you want to make it reasonable for the fact that when the referees do get to that first grade game, it's a really, you know, good salary that they're going to be on because they've worked really hard to get to that point.
Yep, lucrative, as I say, and it gets young blokes who want to give rugby league away at a certain age because of maybe an injury or lack of talent. They go, you know what, referees are paying pretty good. I'm going to hone my skills. And some of my intel, you know, just around the refereeing ranks that I've been spending.
I love that you've been digging into your contacts book here. This is great.
Some refs spend 20 of the 26 rounds per year in a state and don't find out where they're refereeing until the Tuesday afternoon.
But that's an organisation thing.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, it's not as easy as everyone thinks. They also have to double up in different roles. Some referees actually have 40 games a year that they've got to do, including the bunker.
Mm.
Origin. What do players get for Origin? I know it's all about the players, but players in Origin get 30K. Guess what the four officials on duty in Origin get? A quarter of 11,000.
Okay. To that point, MG. The NRL total attendance in 2018 was 3,257,235 people.
Yep.
Not a single one of those people turned up to a game because of the referees. They turn up for the entertainment that rugby league provides. I understand the referees have a role to play in this, but this comparison to what players get paid, I think, is unfounded because the players are the ones providing the entertainment. They are the product.
Who's saying it's anything about the players we're getting paid? That's just what Webby's saying in his story.
That's fair.
The referees aren't saying that. The referees aren't saying we want as much as the players. They're saying we want what's right. True. And what's right with them, they don't get any travel expenses.
Now you threw this to me before the show.
They get their flights paid for, but they don't get cab charges like we get.
They would be able to submit receipts.
But still, it still comes out of their pocket.
Would they get it back? But it's enforced savings.
All I say on this matter is it's the most unforgiving job that there is in Australian sport at the moment, becoming an NRL referee. And I'm not trying to be an NRL referee sympathiser. I just get it. I just get what do we talk about every Monday?
Every Monday on the show.
Most Mondays in footy season. A refereeing blunder.
Yeah, that's true. That's fair.
Like why would you become a referee?
Well, look, MG, we put a poll out there on our socials, at Rush Hour Triple M. Do rugby league's top referees deserve to earn the same money as the average player in the NRL? 50-50. Absolutely split down the middle.
Okay, well, that surprises me. I would have expected more to go to lean with you in your assessment.
I'm not saying the referees don't deserve to earn good money, but this pay increase will see the top referees earning as much as $315,000, MG.
Mm-hmm.
That is $15,000 more than Gladys Berejiklian gets paid as the Premier of New South Wales.
Well, I'm not going to go into politics. Come on, let's. But okay, just to summarize.
Right, summarize on your side.
Okay, referees have to leave a career as a teacher, a tradie, a cop, etc., for 10 years while they referee. They can't do both, so they've got to put their career on pause. So while they do it, if we have even, you know what, I'd love to see. We're getting all these academies for the training, and I'd love to see a referees academy.
That's a great idea.
Young referees to come through and talk to players more, talk to coaches more. Don't be so alienated, because without refs, we have no game, and that's the bottom line. I know you say that we all come to watch the players, but as I said earlier, a good player is a lot easier to find than a good ref. Pay them what they deserve.
It's the Rush Hour with MG, Sydney's 104.9 Triple M. Latrell Mitchell will join us next to talk the test match against Tonga. MG, it sounds like we all just need to come together.
Let's come together right now.
You're listening to the Triple M Rush Hour with MG, 6 to 7pm weekdays on 104.9 Triple M.
It's the Rush Hour with MG, Sydney's 104.9 Triple M. Mark Bridge from the Western Sydney Wanderers is about 15 minutes away from joining us, plus your chance to join our Tough Mudder team, MG.
Do you like that song?
I do like that song.
Jackie Kosolke gave me full autonomy today to pick the four songs on our show.
And really?
That was my first pick, yeah.
Jackie Kosolke, Triple M's Head of Rock.
Yeah, she's...
You've done an outstanding job, MG, picking the music.
Bit of chisel soon.
A little bit of reminder out there. There is a severe thunderstorm warning, heavy rainfall, large hailstones. There's people in the Hunter, Metropolitan, Mid-North Coast, Illawarra, Central Tablelands. Basically, there's a massive thunderstorm over the top of Sydney right now. So if you're out on the roads...
Bunker down.
Take care, drive a little bit slowly, avoid the puddles. If you're indoors, bunker down. If you can get your valuables undercover, do so. And for people on the Central Coast as well, there are some power outages. Head to ausgrid.com.au to find out a bit more information if it is affecting you. MG, this Saturday.
Fuck.
Kangaroos v. Tonga.
Mouth watering is the first thing I think about.
Dribbling over your microphone.
That's just normal, but I'm actually excited.
It's a sellout.
Yeah.
30,000 tickets already sold.
Oh, wow. Some of the scenes of the Tongans arriving in Auckland and the supporters, it's spine tingling.
It is going to be. It's a landmark, watermark moment for international rugby.
It is. You're right.
It's going to be outstanding. And a man who is going to play a very big part in it, hopefully helping the Kangaroos get the win, is this man, Latrell Mitchell. He joins us all the way from Auckland. Good evening, Latrell.
G'day, boys. How's it going?
Oh, great, mate. Thanks very much for your time. Only a few days out from a massive game. If somebody would have said in October last year that Australia are going to play Tonga at Mount Smart Stadium next year around this same time and see 30,000 people there, you would have said, come on, man. That's exactly what we're about to see. Can you believe it?
Yeah, obviously, you know, a great honour to represent my country. And, yeah, honestly, didn't have any expectations on playing Australia this soon. But, yeah, great honour.
The Kiwis kind of ambushed the Aussies last weekend. Even though we scored very early in the game, I think that might have led to a little bit of complacency. Roared back to a lot of form towards the end of the game. What did Mal say to the boys after the game, Latrell?
I pretty much just come down to holding the ball and completing our set. You know, they had pretty much, you know, majority of it, you know, the whole game. And, you know, we, you know, just tackled pretty much the whole game. So, you know, yeah, just obviously complete our sets this week and kick it back to them.
Latrell, how is things in the camp?
I think good. It's a good couple, you know, good blokes in the team. And, you know, we just all get along and a bit of laughter and all that and, you know, good morale. And, yeah, I just enjoy being around the boys.
What a season. New South Wales, you win the comp with the Roosters and now you've got the green and gold on. After that Origin series, Latrell, you seem to go next level. The confidence that it gave you winning that series was evident. What kind of feelings did you get after winning the start of Origin series this year with the Blues?
Nah, it was awesome. You know, obviously the crack there with, you know, Fittler gave me a call and, you know, I was over the moon. You know, I was sort of in shock there. And then, you know, I knew I had to go to work and, you know, I wanted to take my game to the next level. And obviously Origin's, you know, the pinnacle. Just obviously going and playing that and winning it and then going to a grand final and, you know, doing that and to where I am now. So, you know, I'm pretty happy with myself. You know, I worked hard to get where I am and, you know, I just sort of want to just keep striving for, you know, for greatness. So.
Good on you, mate.
Now, Latrell, I want to get back to last week. I know New Zealand won the game, but your comments afterwards about Joseph Manu having the potential to be the best centre in the game. Latrell, you're the best centre in the game. And I don't want you giving up this title so willingly.
But there's two centres in every team. So, you know, he's playing his cards right.
If that's not what he said. Latrell, I think you need to hold on to this title.
He still is.
No, I think, you know, I get on accolades and whatnot. But, you know, Joe Manu really stepped up, you know, on the weekend. And you know, that's, he deserves, you know, every you know, compliment he gets. You know, he works really hard, and you know, he's a very humble, you know, lad, and you know, just loves the game, loves his family, and just loves representing. So you know, for him to, you know, come out and play what he did, the way he did, and yeah, I was really proud of the way he played. But I, at the end of the day, like, I was disappointed in myself because I sort of let him play like that. You know what I mean?
Well, you come from a place in the world which is one of the best places in the world, Taree. You're the great nephew, a lot of people don't know, you're the great nephew of Yvonne Goolagong. And you've got some pretty famous other Tareans, if you call them that. Troy Bayliss and Danny Badiris and Liz Hayes comes from Taree, and Aaron Bird, the cricketer. But I think you might take the top of the tree.
Nah, look, you know, Taree is obviously, plenty of athletes come out of there, and you know, it's just homegrown. You know, everyone, you know, loves where they come from. You know, I just love going back home and giving back, and just know what it's like to grow up there. And you know, there's not much there, but you know, obviously you've got to give it a crack and get out and just explore and see what you know you're good at. And you know, obviously rugby league was my, you know, my calling. So you know, I got the opportunity to get out of Taree and make something for myself. So really enjoying it.
Talking about this weekend, mate, Tonga, formidable opponents. Where are they going to be strongest?
You know, their middles obviously are massive. They're a big go-forward team, and if they got momentum, you know, they're pretty hard to stop. But I think if we just kick them and turn them around and just, you know, play a field position with them, I think we can go a long way to winning the game, because, you know, them big boys obviously don't want to turn around and run. And, but, you know, if we do a good job on them, I think we'll go a good way winning the game. So.
How's Luke Keary recovering?
Yeah, no, he's going good. You know, he's out and about, and we play golf today. It's a bit rusty, you know, they're probably not all there at the moment, but I think he'll be all right.
Well, mate, we really appreciate your time. We know it's you must be in high demand for a chat before a massive game on Saturday. Get Saturday out of the way, mate, and then you've got 3 or 4 months to kick back and put your feet up, and we appreciate you being on the show tonight.
Nah, no worries, mate, boys. Thanks for that. Best. And, yeah, cheers.
Good luck for Saturday night, Latrell.
See you, mate. Bye-bye.
Legend. Thanks, boys.
It's going to be a belter.
Oh, yeah. He's going to have a big say in the proceedings, you would imagine.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mark Bridge from the Western Sydney Wanderers just around the corner. This is the Rush Hour with MG. Sydney's 104.9 Triple M. Up next, MG. Jeff Horn's not happy with Anthony the Man Mundine. He's got a bit cranky with him today. We've got the audio next.
You're listening to the Triple M Rush Hour with MG. 6 to 7 p.m. weekdays on 104.9 Triple M.
Liam Flanagan here, and we do the show, MG, for Kennard's Hire. How's the song go?
Thank you, Kennard, because you make the job easy.
Sing it.
Kennard's make the job easy.
You know that's the agreement. I read the stuff. You sing the song.
You're singing it from now on.
Okay. Kennard's Hire for Project Small and Big. We've got what it takes to make your job easy. Head into your nearest Kennard's Hire branch. There's over 170, which means there's definitely one near you, or you can check out all the information, the products, the service, everything at kennards.com.au. MG, mm-hmm. November 30th, Suncorp Stadium will be the venue and date for Jeff the Hornet Horn taking on Anthony the Man Mundine. But
get it on.
But Hornet, he's thrown the toys out of the pram this morning at a media session, MG, at the fact that Anthony Mundine has gone to ground, basically, since the fight was announced. This is some of what Horn had to say this morning.
Mundine signed the fight for November 30, and then he's just taken off on a plane for a month. One of the best things about Mundine is he knows how to sell a fight, and he's not here to do it. He's left it all up to me, have all of that promotional stuff on board, so the early mornings of TV and radios, it's all coming to me at the moment. I think it is mind games he's trying to play. He's trying to get in my head and get me frustrated, which I am frustrated at the moment, but I think he should come back and start doing some work as well.
Yeah, it's un-Anthony Mundine like. He's usually, you know, does the 50-50 with the you know, with the lead up to the fight. And I'm thinking he's channeling a bit of Conor McGregor, to be honest.
Oh, he's taking some inspiration from the Notorious.
He's always late to his interviews, and he loves getting inside his opponents' heads. And it didn't work for him last time against Khabib, but. Yeah, it's, as I said, it's unlike Chalk to not promote the fights he's in. Well, the more he promotes it, the more money they're going to get.
True. But if I'm Anthony Mundine and I hear that I've already gotten under Jeff Horn's skin, guess what I'm not going to do? Come back and start doing promotional stuff.
Yeah, but it could take a hit in the pay-per-view when you know, main event, when you go to watch it. If we don't see more of Anthony Mundine in the lead-up to the fight, you know, because as good as Jeff Horn is a boxer, promoting, he's not a promoter.
He's not a seller.
No.
Yeah.
He's boxing sells. He's talking, he's too nice of a bloke to be a boxer.
We're going to watch that round at your place?
Yeah.
All right.
If you, get a few listeners to come in if you want.
Ooh. Oh, well, now, yeah. See, this is what you do. You promise
these. The MGC. We'll get a few, have a swim.
It's the rush.
Budgie smugglers. What month is it?
It's in November.
Oh, it's going to be hot.
Yeah.
Okay, let's have a speedo party at my house.
I might stay home. It's the Rush Hour with MJ, Sydney's 104.9 Triple M. Mark Bridge from the Wanderers joins us next.
You're listening to the Triple M Rush Hour with MG, 6 to 7pm weekdays on 104.9 Triple M.
It's the Rush Hour with MG, Sydney's 104.9 Triple M. Another good choice by you, MG, on that song.
Thank you, sir.
The thunderstorm warning that was in place has been cancelled for the metropolitan areas, but it is still in place for the Central Coast and Hunter Valley. So if you are in those areas where there is the severe thunderstorm warning, that's the Central Coast and Hunter Valley areas, please take care. It has been cancelled for the metropolitan areas. MG, the A-League. The season kicks off Friday night.
Yes.
Sydney FC taking on Adelaide United.
We spoke to Lafondra last night.
Adam Lafondra, the new English import for Sydney FC yesterday.
So we thought, why not speak to their rivals?
We've got to return the favour. The Western Sydney Wanderers, they start their season against Perth Glory. Their old coach, Tony Popovich, now in charge of the Glory. That game is this Sunday, and this man will be leading the line of attack, hoping to put lots of goals in the back of the net for them this year. Mark Bridge from the Western Sydney Wanderers. Good evening, Mark.
Good evening, guys. How are we?
Or do we call you King Bridge?
Oh, MG.
How are you, Bridgie?
Yeah, good. Good, boys. Good. Looking forward for the season starting.
Mate, it's a long off season in any code you play. Obviously, the pre-season of training is something that makes most people retire. How was your off season, mate?
Yeah, off season was good. Off season's always good. Pre-season's a different thing. I mean, the older you get, the harder they get. To be honest, so yeah, look, it was a bit hard at the start. I was injured. I tore my soleus tendon in the calf, which I'm told is an old man's injury.
Mm.
But yeah, look, it's slowly getting there, so we'll see how it goes.
Disappointing last year for the Wanderers, Bridgie. Missed the finals, and for a club that was so stable under Tony Popovich for so many years and enjoyed so much success, his departure, Josip Gombau coming in for a brief stint, it's a bit of uncertainty around the club, and now you've got the new former German international Marcus Babbel at the helm. How are things tracking under him?
Yeah, at the moment they're very good. I mean, look, you see someone with his experience and his knowledge of the game, and you're very thankful. Yeah, look, when Popper left, it was difficult. I mean, I think a lot of people, not just fans, but players as well, took it. And you see when he left how much of a difference it made. So it was a difficult transitioning period last year. As fate would have it, we go play Popper first game of the year, yeah. So hopefully we can get over him.
One of the big strengths of the Wanderers, the RBB, a few games at Parramatta Stadium, and you could hear them coming from the pub, the drums are beating, and the kind of goosebumps would kind of appear out of nowhere. How hard has it been not having that Parramatta Stadium fan base type thing and playing out of a foreign venue last year?
Yeah, MG, it does make it difficult, to be honest. I mean, you know yourself, Parramatta Stadium is a small, close stadium to the pitch, which makes the atmosphere unbelievable when it's loud and it's packed.
Mm.
You get to a stadium like, I mean, ANZ, it's huge. I mean, holds 80-odd thousand, whatever it holds. So no matter how many people, like, you're not going to pack it out. You're not going to get 80,000 to a regular game. So even 20,000 with the RBB there, it's not the same. They were very intimidating for opposition teams, but in saying that, I mean, you still have to put the ball in the net. Mm. So.
Well, and not just for the sake of the team, Bridgie, but also for the sake of this brand new Western Sydney Stadium, because if you guys don't get it done on the field, the last thing we want is the RBB tearing up sections of this brand new stadium.
Well, at least I just have to worry about our crowd tearing it up. And the Parramatta's not tearing it up, are they?
Oh, boom tish. Boom tish.
Hey, let's.
You like that, MG?
I love that one. A lot of codes often go through talk about expansion at the moment. You know, it's and the back burners as far as the NRL goes. You know, in the last few years, we've seen GWS and the Gold Coast Suns come in the AFL. What about as far as the A-League? What are your thoughts on expansion in the A-League, Bridgie?
Yeah, look, I think it needs it. I mean, it needs something. It's sort of stagnated a little bit at the moment. The fans are crying out for more. Whether that's more teams or a second division, I mean, it needs something. It needs to expand. if you stay the same, you're going to die, aren't you?
Now, do you know where you sit all-time in A-League goals scored?
Of course he does. Oh, he's a Penrith boy, mate.
Hey, hang on. But am I fifth?
You are, fifth? Correct. Correct.
you're a bugger. You're a bugger. am I fifth? Come on, man.
Let me take it one step further then. Do you know the four players above you?
Of course he does.
Archie Thompson.
Correct.
Shane Smeltz.
Correct.
Bessart Berisha.
Correct.
Oh, you're good.
And the other one's still playing.
Fonirolli.
Incorrect.
Oh.
Alex Bros.
Correct. There you go. So
I knew it.
This is good. He's a pure striker, which is what I wanted to get at, because I want to get an expert opinion, a man who knows what it's like to finish.
I knew you were
going to
ask me about this. Well,
we need to get an expert opinion. What did you make of Usain Bolt's brace the other weekend?
I think he's improved. He's definitely improved. I mean, albeit against weaker opposition. I mean, look, it's not A-League standard, the team he's playing against, but he has improved. And look, at the end of the day, you have to come to terms with, are you going to sign him for his football ability or are you going to sign him for his marketing value? I mean, either way, he's got people talking about Central Coast Mariners. He's got people talking about the A-League. And let's be honest, it's Usain Bolt. He's one of the greatest athletes that's ever lived.
Look, I just think it's a win-win situation. And look, when you come up against him, I want to see you outrun him as well.
Maybe outrun him to the water or something.
Maybe if there's a cold beer, you'd be in front of him.
Mark Bridge of the Western Sydney Wanderers, we appreciate your time. We can't wait to track how you travel the Wanderers this year. You're the team for Western Sydney, so we'll absolutely be getting behind you this season. Best of luck this Sunday against the Perth Glory, and we look forward to speaking to you again on the show.
Excellent, boys. Thank you very much.
What about the blossoming romance, buddy romance, between you and Bridgie?
I've known Bridgie for a while.
Yeah.
He's a character. Can play the game, and I really like him as a bloke.
The king of
He's on the show now, so let's call him Tom Ugly's Bridge. I'm the P and he's Tom Ugly's.
Speaking of ugly, it's not ugly, but you'll be ugly by the end of it if you do get to be a part of it. Tough Mudder, Sydney, November 17th and 18th. Do something out of the ordinary. Head to toughmudder.com.au to be a part of it, or if you want to join our team, MG, 133353, call us now to be a part of it. This is the Rush Hour with MG, Sydney's 104.9 Triple M. MG, you've got a little power rankings for us next.
There's a lot of players off contract next year. I'll let you know who my 5-1 in my power rankings are.
You're listening to the Triple M Rush Hour with MG, 6-7 PM weekdays on 104.9 Triple M.
Yes, and Liam Flanagan here, and MG and I have a team that is going to be participating in Tough Mudder Sydney. It's happening November 17th and 18th. Are you still a virgin mudder? If you are.
Yes, I am.
You won't be come November 18th.
I'm seeing some vision of these Tough Mudders. They're not easy.
Yeah, I'm actually getting more nervous about it. If you want to be a part of it, head to toughmudder.com.au. But MG, somebody, we've got a new member on our team.
We have Josh from Cronulla. G'day, Josh. Not Josh Morris, is it?
No, it's not.
How are you, Josh?
Yeah, not too bad. Stuck in Sydney traffic, but listening to you guys is making it a little bit easier.
Oh, thanks, mate. Well, you're part of our team for Tough Mudder. Who are you going to bring as your plus one?
I might bring the missus.
Oh, cool.
She's done it before, so see if she is keen to do it again.
No, good. We need some experience, Josh, because MG and I have not done it before, so we need anybody who has any experience with Tough Mudders would be grateful. Have you got any name suggestions for us? Because we don't have a name yet.
And I was thinking the Tough Rock Battlers. I think you guys might all be carrying me for half the way, so we're going to battle along.
Someone on social media had a good one today, the Tough Mudder Fudders.
We're going to work on the name. Josh and Cronulla, congratulations. We've got another spot up for grabs tomorrow on the show, MG, but we're almost out of time, but still got time for this. Power.
We have
got to film the dancing that goes on in the studio for that.
Well, you know, as Josh mentioned, he's stuck in traffic, and we kind of picture our listeners to be stuck in traffic, and it's not a good thing. So hopefully that gives him a bit of a pep. The fielder this week, look, next year, Liam, 2019, there is an unprecedented caliber of player off contract unseen before.
Yeah.
Each club has at least two marquee players, which you could call marquee players, that are off contract. I've gone through the list and I've come up with my top five.
So this is November 1st when people who've got a year to run on their contract become eligible.
David Slather.
Here we go. Five.
Reece Martin. He's a late bloomer.
Wow.
He's a goal kicker. he just seems to be getting better and better the more he plays. He was in contention for Rookie of the Year this year. He won that. Then he won the Interest Cup game. Then he beat the Queensland team. So he's on fire. If he, the Bulldogs don't sign him, there'll be a lineup to sign him as
someone
a back row goal kicker.
Absolutely.
Canberra's Joseph Tapine, only 24 years of age, and he's played 7 tests for the Kiwis. A little bit injury prone, but I think age is on his side. And one of them players that if I was a CEO, I would definitely be looking to acquire his services.
3.
Lachlan Fitzgibbon from the Knights. I think he's going to play Origin, this kid. There's no better hole runner in the game. And his ability to go to score tries is uncanny. Big boy, big-bodied boy. I think the Newcastle Knights will lock him up. If they don't, they'd be very silly.
You reckon Parramatta would sniff around for him if they could?
Yeah, you know what? Parramatta, there's your perfect buy.
2.
Cameron Munster.
24
years of age still. We forget how young this kid is. Kangaroos and Maroon, number 6. One of the best players in the game at the moment. Probably will get $1 million. Whichever club he does end up settling for.
And deserves it.
Well, there's rumour that he's already agreed to terms with the Storm. If so, well, I think the Storm need him going forward, because without Munster, Slater, there's a lot of Hoffman.
A lot of pressure on Bellamy.
And Cameron Smith. He hasn't signed yet either.
Martin, Tapine, Fitzgibbon, Munster.
1.
Val Holmes.
Oh, of course.
23 years of age, 66 tries from 105 NRL games. 8 tries in 5 games for Queensland. 15 tries from 12 tests. The guy's just a try-scoring freak, and I think he's only going to get better. He's another million-dollar player.
MG, that is an outstanding list. The top 5 people who the teams will be coming for come November 1. MG, we are out of time. It's been a great show.
Good show. Good luck in the traffic. Stay safe. He's Liam. I'm MG. Stay random, Sydney.
You're listening to the Triple M Rush Hour with MG, 6 to 7 p.m. weekdays on 104.9 Triple M.